Junks are brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com and you can join their team today. Mark Packer will join us in just about an hour. Former ACC Network host. He's retired. He's just living the good life. Retired. Ooh. Doing his thing.
Yep.
Freelancing. Doing whatever.
All right, so good for him. Cakes, I know you're a big Costco guy.
Big Costco guy, yes.
I like Costco, but honestly, I think I might go there once every 3 or 4 months. Mm-hmm. I just don't go there very often.
Yeah.
We don't do our, you know, like our regular shopping there by any stretch. But I know my sister does. I know a lot of people do. And I guess, and I didn't even realize, I don't even know why we are. I guess we have that executive membership. What does that cost you?
$130.
We definitely don't get our money.
It's going up, by the way.
I don't even know, really, what is the best perk about
the
that?
Best
you get some sort of rewards?
The best perk is 2% of what you spend, you get back.
Right.
So if you spend a lot of money at Costco, it definitely adds up.
So if you spend, let's say you spend $5,000 there, what's 2% of that?
2% of $5,000.
$100. $100.
Yeah.
$100. All right. I don't think we spend it. I mean, we spend not that much money there. Mostly I go there to the pharmacy, to be honest with you, because it's pretty quick in and out. But if you are an executive member, you do get a perk that starts today. And I actually think this is cool and worth it.
Mm-hmm.
You could start your shopping at 9 a.m.
And the store.
And the regular donks can't 10. Get in until 10.
That so you get an
hour. Heard that this morning, yep.
You don't have to be, like, I've literally been killing time out in Virginia, and I will go to, like, my daughter's volleyball workout or something, and I don't know what to do. Maybe I'll go to a Costco. And the people lined up to go inside before they open.
I know, it's absurd.
Staggering.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And, you know, God forbid you show up, like, at noon or something.
Oh, noon.
You can't even find parking.
Well, you can't go on a weekend.
You can't even find parking.
You can't go on a weekend.
At most Costco's.
We always go, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, mid-afternoon.
Those are the best
And it's still kind of crowded, but not like it would be on a weekend.
I do like to go, and I like to get maybe a big platter of steaks or something, but they're always big, thick cuts. And
they are.
Sometimes I don't really know what to do with it all.
They're awesome.
But I like it. I like Costco.
You
I'm
get
Costco.
Five big fat ass fillets for about 58, mm-hmm. 60 bucks. Those fillets in a restaurant would each be about 58 bucks.
Yeah, you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, at a restaurant. But anyway, so are you going to take advantage now? Cakes, you're like a regular guy. Like you go, is that where you do
I
your regular grocery shopping?
Not regular because it's, for me, it's not that convenient because the closest one's 20 minutes away.
Is that like, the one like
it's Gaithersburg or Wheaton?
Yeah,
they're about
right.
the same. But like I'll go to Costco and if I don't spend $400 or $450 at wow. least, like that's a light yeah. trip because I load up on stuff.
Like that's you get what, like what, dog food?
Well, like I buy-
Do they even sell dog food
they
there?
Sell, of course, they sell
yeah.
everything.
Yeah.
I buy bully sticks for my dog, which are butt expensive, but they're cheaper at Costco.
Yeah.
I buy everything there. Soda, paper towels, toilet paper,
yeah.
steaks, electronics,
yeah.
everything.
Yeah, I get a lot. We get a lot of stuff there.
What do you mostly get?
Well, I mean, the steaks are unbelievable.
They are.
I love the
big,
steaks.
Big thick cuts.
Yeah,
sometimes
well,
I have to cut them in half.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Like
you just throw
thick.
The rest in your freezer yeah, and use them another time.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but like cakes. I mean, we go there for paper towels and toilet paper, all the
so
stuff,
you go,
all the mass
so
stuff.
So you're regulars. You're once a week.
No, not once a week. I'd say twice a month.
All right, so every other week because you get so much, you don't need to go.
Sometimes we don't spend a ton there.
Sometimes my cart is so packed because a lot of times at the Gaithersburg spot, I will park underneath, like in the lower level,
yeah.
to avoid all the vultures and the clowns
yeah.
upstairs and
yeah.
waiting 20 minutes for a spot. Now, to get to the downstairs in Gaithersburg, they only have steps unless there's an elevator that I don't know about.
No, it's right. just steps.
Just steps. So when I've got the big giant cart with $500 worth of
yeah.
merch in it, like I have to go down the sidewalk. Around the back of the building, and then curl back into the parking garage.
I mean, it's a whole thing.
It's a whole production.
See, when I go shopping, this is where I differ from you, Cakes.
Mm-hmm.
I try to go and never use a cart. I try to go and use
that's...
a basket, or I'm the donk that's carrying seven items in my arms.
I would never do
yeah.
that.
I hate
I would never do
pushing
that.
A cart.
Why do you hate pushing a shopping
don't
cart
know.
So much?
Because I don't want to get that much. I just want to get a few things.
Yeah,
and then I end up a few extra.
The cart is so convenient.
We still use the cart even if we're getting eight things.
First of all, it has wheels on it. It's butt easy to move around. And you can put more stuff in it instead of
yeah.
holding. put the groceries in the basket.
That's like to be in there a long time. I like to just get in and get out. And if I have a cart, I feel like I'm going to linger. So I go in. If there's a basket, that's ideal. If not, I'm an arm stuffer.
Well, I'm 99.9% of the time a basket guy because almost every time I go to the grocery store, I'm buying soda. And you're not going to walk around with...
You mean a cart guy. A cart guy.
Cart guy, yeah. You're not going to walk around with 12 packs of soda, like two or three of them. I mean, you need a cart for that.
You're like a guy that owns a convenience store. Like, you buy that much stuff.
Yeah. I like to have provisions at the house. Yeah. So now, I'm not like a doomsday prepper. Not yet. Probably never will be. But I like to have extra stuff.
I'm intrigued by the guys. And have you ever done this, Valdez? That, like, you'll see these guys, these, like, what do they call the guys that just eat meat all the time? What do they call them?
Carnivores.
They're carnivores. They go in there, and they get a big slab of meat, and they cut out, like, 60 steaks out of it or something. You know what I mean?
That's the most cost-effective way to do it.
That is intriguing. And then you always know that you got a steak in the freezer.
Yes.
Like, well, like, speaking of months. That, at Costco, like, at the ends of one of the refrigerated case sections, they have entire, like legs of lamb. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, they're this long, and they're hanging in, like, a refrigerated section. Yeah. I'm like, who's buying that? But clearly, like, there are people buying it.
Looks like Rocky was sparring with
it. I mean, sometimes there are people in Costco with the flatbed. Those are the real serious shoppers. The ones with the flatbeds.
Okay.
And they have 9 50-pound bags of rice. I mean, they're clearly buying for, like, a mom-and-pop restaurant.
Right.
Like, I mean, they are just going through the aisles, and they're buying, like, thousands of dollars worth of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, when you got that flatbed up this high,
but are you
this long,
are you vulnerable? Because I have been lately, if I go where I end up in the middle of the store and I end up looking at, like, the weird Adidas, like,
you look at the clothing.
Yeah. I'm looking at the clothing.
Sure.
Now. I'm looking like, wow, this is kind of weird. Yeah. But it's a $14 golf shirt. Right. I don't know. Should I get it? Like,
these are $11 like hiking pants. I need a pair.
This is a weird like Puma joggers.
Dude, I've seen Costco have Peter Millar golf hoodies.
I know.
Got to take advantage of that.
Sure.
I've just bought socks.
They're too plain. It's usually too plain. I just can't get it.
I know, but if you're going to come in here and just, you know, wear something kind of warm.
Then I go around the corner and look at the big scary TVs.
I love that.
4K, is it OLED? Is that the latest technology? That would look amazing in my house.
I do always look at great. The TVs. That's like the number one thing I do.
Yeah.
I got to look at the TVs.
Well, that's the first thing you see.
I make a point of going through each row and just looking at the TVs. It's just, I'm just wired
that
way.
I might go there today.
I think
you're
getting
me pumped for Costco.
You got to wait till you're free. You got to go in the morning when no one's there.
Yeah, but the one in Leesburg on a Tuesday afternoon, it won't be crazy.
It should be fine.
Yeah.
Like at 1 or 2 o'clock.
Right, so here's another.
I should just go there for lunch.
Yeah.
Where's Mar? Mar, get in here.
It's the Mike Mar.
So apparently there's a Gen Z thing that's popping off cakes.
Okay.
With beer.
Popping off. Okay, I'd like to hear this.
Apparently, are you doing this, Mar? I don't know if you saw this story. Gen Zers, and listen, I don't have a strong opinion on this, but Gen Zers are pouring their beer now over ice.
No, that's trifling, but I do know one thing people are doing.
Like a large percentage.
Yeah, that sounds really gross.
Like, but even like a Mick Ultra. Like a super light beer.
It already tastes like water.
Yeah.
No, I've seen some of my friends, what they do, though, is when they get it in a glass, they pour it super high. So then all the bubbles, basically, it just becomes flat. And apparently that makes your stomach, it gets a lot easier on your stomach.
Hold on, what do you do?
So what they're doing is, like, they're taking a glass and then they're pouring it from, like,
from
super high.
Because
so
that makes a lot of...
Yeah, because it just bubbles up like crazy. And then it takes a while to, like, simmer down. And then they fill it back up, like, the rest of the half. And then basically it just becomes flat. So it doesn't make your stomach hurt.
Well, who wants to drink a flat beer? Like, doesn't that taste gross?
So the flat beer doesn't give you, like, belches?
Yeah, no belches.
Or beer farts?
Yeah, none of that stuff. I don't do that personally. I like to put down a Coors Light the old school way. But, but yeah, I've seen my friends do that. And I'm like, first off, it just looks like a dumb thing to do because it takes 2 minutes to pour your beer.
Right.
But they swear by it, saying it doesn't make their stomach hurt. They're able to just put them back.
Who are these fancy friends of yours drinking beer out of glasses? I mean, what's going on here?
Just a couple of jamokes that I'm hanging around.
Saying your stomach hurts after you have a beer, take away your man card.
Apparently, kids are doing this, young people. So is Gen Z, I don't know, according to this article, is it 18 to 35? Does that sound right?
Yeah, I think Gen Z is any year born after 1996.
Okay, I can't do that math.
So it's like 29 and below.
Okay, 29 and below is Gen Z. Like that, but like a 10-year-old's not Gen Z.
10-year-old's probably like a Gen Alpha or something. Yeah. I don't even know.
But let's just say 18 to 29, something like that. They're saying that they're putting ice in their beer because it makes it extra cold.
I like a cold beer.
I do too, but I'm not going to put ice in my beer. I can drink my beer fast enough. It stays cold while I'm drinking it.
What about a frosty mug?
Frosty mug's a great idea, or a frosty glass.
You take a glass, put it in the freezer for a couple minutes.
I mean, that's a way better solution.
My father-in-law is a professional. He always has frosty mugs, right? He's got a bunch always
that
in the freezer.
That is a pro move. I like that.
I mean, there's always frosty.
Like it.
There's a whole section of the freezer for frosty mugs.
Mm-hmm. Why would you taint the the taste of beer?
I don't
with
even
ice.
Like ice in my you soda. I like because I think
what?
It.
Hold on.
It,
you don't like ice in your soda?
No, because it waters it down. If I'm going to drink a soda, I want all
Again,
the sweetness.
I drink the soda fast enough where
I want
the ice
all the sweetness.
The ice keeps it cold, but it doesn't really melt because I drink it so quickly.
I'm with you, Cakes.
Slightly below room temperature.
The ice complements
the ice. Yeah,
it waters it down, especially if you don't drink it.
I mean,
all
if you're just
seconds.
Nursing it.
Well, like let's say you're having a meal. By the end of your meal,
get me a redneck guzzler, it's going to have a third cup of ice, and then I'm going to fill it with soda. And then, of course, about halfway through filling it up, some might consider the stealing. I don't.
Right.
I take it, and I take a big gulp out of it, and then I keep filling it up.
Of course.
Would that be considered stealing? No. It's normal behavior.
If the goal of the Gen Zers is to make the beer extra, extra, extra cold or extra... chilled or whatever. Why are they not using those like cocktail ice cubes? You know how like you would put a big square cube
because they're expensive.
No.
No, they're not. You just get the steel ball in there. Yeah, get the mold, put it in the freezer.
I did not like that. Have you done that before? Like I put like steel balls in my like whiskey or something
for your scotch.
It wasn't a fan.
I've never heard of such a thing.
Yeah, it's a way to cool it without like the watering it down.
Condensation.
Apparently, people are doing it with wine too. I feel like I've seen
and
women put
white ice in wine.
I was just about
wine.
To say that some of the girls I'm friends with, they put ice in their wine.
Now
like in
is
their glass.
That to dilute it a little bit so they don't get as hammered?
No, that's just to make it colder.
They just want it colder. Yeah,
but beer and ice, that's not too.
It's not a good mix.
Like I know I'm running around today, and I got a tea time later. I already know what I'm doing. I already called my shot.
All right.
Going to Cava. Okay?
Okay.
I'm going to Cava to get my thing, and I always get the blueberry soda. It's amazing. No ice.
Yeah, I can't. I'm not down with that plan.
No ice.
Need ice in my soda at all times.
And then it's always silly, sweet, and not watered
and
down.
And also in my water. I can't have room temperature water. I know it's better for you. It's better for your system.
Better
blah,
for
blah,
your
blah.
Digestion.
Water needs ice. Needs to be nice and
cold.
100%.
Super cold. I saw a reel, I think it was yesterday or last night, I was tossing and turning, that if you drink water with lemon first thing in the morning, it's silly for your liver.
Really? I like
first
lemon.
First thing in the morning, it kind of, because as you, no matter how much you drink or whatever, just your liver's already filtering out all the toxins, right, overnight. And then somehow... it relieves that. It helps that.
So I got to bring lemon slices
first
in.
First thing you got to do in the morning is you got to have lemon and water.
Yeah. Well, silly first thing I have in the morning is a Coke Zero.
Followed by coffee.
When I'm driving here bleary-eyed and barely awake. Coke Zero, first thing. Crack it about halfway through the drive.
Right.
It starts me off. It's perfect.
And you finish it before you arrive, right?
You think I'd ever bring a can of soda in here from my car?
How many sodas? I literally do try to do one soda a day. It's basically here. When do you? Today I might have two if I go to a cop. How many do you? Are you averaging a day?
Probably two.
Oh, that's good.
Because I have it's a lock. I have
way
one in the morning.
Below what you used
now
to do.
I also have 8 cups of coffee, or six or 8 cups of coffee every day. Now you're discounting that, but. Probably 2 sodas.
He used to be a machine.
He used to be a machine. I felt like you were like a 6 or 8.
I used to be the soda smashing machine like Dwayne The Rock
Johnson. I mean, he legitimately would have about 7. I was just always amazed. There was a little period where we carpooled that on the way home, he would stop and drink a soda at like 11:30 at
this
night.
This temple is impervious to caffeine and its effects.
Mar? I got to tell you guys something. We're just while we're talking about pops for a second. I unlocked a part of Pupatello's menu. I recommend you guys do the same.
Really?
Uh-huh. They got Maine root beer imported. I don't know if it's coming from Italy or whatever, but I got it the other day. And the dude at the store was telling me, like, yeah, we just got these. Like, they're super under the radar, but you will enjoy it. Next time you go to Pupatello, get the glass root beer. Treat yourself.
Why? What is it, imported root beer?
Is it like cane sugar
it's
or something?
It's so silly. It's like, yeah, it's like... Everything is just incredible ingredients. Yeah, like cane sugar or whatever, but it is the best root beer you'll ever have.
Italian root beer.
All right. So. I'm going to order it next time I go.
Yeah, treat yourself.
I'm going to say
root beer from Tuscany.
Sicilian root beer.
Italians are famous for their root beer. Root beer is a bottom seed, by the way. Mike Martin.
You don't like root beer?
It's a bottom. When it comes to soda, very bottom seed.
By the way, I believe that's what they have at Cava. The brand he's talking about.
Oh, I don't know. I don't do that. I only do blueberry.
Well, when the dude said that you can't get it anywhere else. He said he's the only place.
It's an exclusive?
That's what he said. He said Pupatello is like really the only place in the area that has it.
Okay.
Unless he was lying.
I mean, I'm looking at a site which says it's at Cava and all these different
places. Maine root beer?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll try it today.
All right. Don't forget, coming up in just about 40 minutes, we'll be joined by Mark Packer, former ACC Network host. Will talk about Virginia Tech's struggles over the weekend and more. That's coming up at 9 o'clock here on The Fan. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see Dave Chappelle. He'll be at Capital One Arena October 10th.
Nice.
Keep listening for your chance to win those tickets coming up at the 9
o'clock.
Might
have to hit up my guy JVS for that one.
Hour. It's not a bad idea.
Speaking of winning, have you bought your Powerball tickets yet?
I have not. I did buy them for the most recent drawing where there was not a winner. But I believe the jackpot is now swole to over like over $1 billion.
Yes. $1.3 billion.
Yep.
All right, Jason always like says he would dole out money. Let's say Cakes wins and he gets $1.3 billion.
Well, he wouldn't get
Cakes has never promised to give any of us anything.
I would take the lump sum, of course.
Yes.
That'd probably be like...
$600 million, probably.
Is that what it's going to be?
I don't know.
$600 million?
Let's just say it's $600 million.
$600 million.
Maybe less because of taxes.
It's a lot of money. I don't know what I would do with it. I mean, first, I would have to
call... Would we get anything?
I would have to call my guy, Ed. I would have to call my financial advisor, Ed.
You got to call Ed before you dole out a penny?
Ed's the first call.
Okay.
I mean, I love you guys, but... the first call is to my guy, Ed.
All right. Call Ed, and then Ed says, all right, give you some of your boys some cash.
Yeah.
What would you give?
I don't know. I have $600 million?
Yeah.
Have I already paid taxes on that?
Well, yeah, because they take the taxes out before they give it to you.
Hmm. Man, that's a lot of money.
Of course it is.
But I can't just willy-nilly just hand out huge, huge sums of it or else it'll be gone.
Yeah, but you've built a career with these guys.
You wouldn't give us $5 million?
You've built a career with these guys.
$5 million.
I've seen the pitfalls. I've seen the pitfalls of lottery winners just throwing money around like they're at a strip
club. Okay, but they're stupid. They don't have Ed's to rely on.
$5 million a piece? $5 million seems a little steep.
Out of 600, what are you gonna do? How are you gonna spend 600?
You're still gonna have 585.
That's a lot of money.
You know what you could put? You could put 500 of it in just a money market account, getting about 5%.
I would put 500 million in a money market account.
Well, wherever you can get 5% on it. Mm-hmm. You couldn't spend that much money. Mm. So you could give away $100 million after you pay off all your stuff, buy a couple houses.
I give it away when I'm dead.
I would be hooking people, hooking them.
Cakes is tight.
$2 to $3 million a piece, tops.
All
like
right.
Three is very high. Very high.
I'll remember that when I win. I'll give these guys five and I'll give you two.
I don't even need to win. Some people have pieces of me. I have pieces of other people. You know what I'm saying? Like lifetime sweats.
Yeah.
So I don't even need to hit the whole thing. I just need somebody that I know in my inner circle to hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you got to do your part and get your tickets.
Oh, yeah. I'll be doing that. Yeah.
How many are you going to get?
I'll probably buy two or three.
Now, are these the $2 or these the
$5? These are the $2 jobbers.
Oh, well, I'll get
10 bucks.
Maybe
I'll get 10
buy,
bucks. Yeah, I'll get five.
It's 10 bucks worth. That added to the pot.
Yeah, I'll do that today on the way home.
I never go to those machines. I'm actually looking at a machine.
I love those machines.
It has Powerball on the left.
The kiosks.
It has Pick 3, Pick 4, Keno.
Yeah.
Cash Maybe Pop. I don't even know what
I'm
that is.
I'm missing out on a big sweat.
Yeah, JP, when you go to the kiosk, of course you do that because you avoid human interaction. you have to go to the touch screen and you either play the draw games. There's a tab for that up top.
Yes.
Or you hit the button for the scratchers. I'm pretty much off the scratchers unless it's Christmas time. Good stocking stuffers.
I still see guys like I'll pump gas or whatever, and then I'll go inside and get like a Twinkies or something because I'm a sugar addict.
Sure.
And I'll still see guys they're scratching off their $5 scratchers, and they get like a fistful 100%. Of them. And I mean, that addiction is real.
It is. It's a real thing.
And then there's always one or two guys betting on the electric horses or whatever that is. Yeah. Whatever that fake horse
they're
race is.
They're doing Keno or the fake horses. The whole thing.
I just say, man, degens. Sick degens.
Sick, real sickos.
Yeah. Have you seen those guys I've been talking about?
Yeah.
Around Home Depot where they're gambling?
No, I still have not seen that.
Yeah.
Though, close to that Home Depot is a beer store that I walked into.
Yeah.
I know, it shocks people. I walked into a store that sells beer and wine. Very shocking. And to get to the beer and surf size and everything else, I had to walk through a gauntlet of 8 to 10 sicko degenerates buying scratchers, looking up at the fake horses. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were more guys there for that than they were for the alcohol.
Right.
I was like, what are you guys doing?
Real
sickos. Real prize is back here. You guys are just... waiting
so
for
on the way
horse.
Home, we got to pick up at least 5 tickets.
When's the drawing?
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. So you have a little time.
Tomorrow night. Was it 7 or is it later than that?
I don't know when it is.
Yeah. All right, so
I'm definitely going to get some tickets today.
A lot of people are talking about Micah Parsons.
We should all get tickets.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are talking about Micah Parsons. Obviously, the injury is something to be aware of. Apparently,
I thought the injury was just was fake news.
Right. No, it's like a real thing.
You know, it's a real thing.
He's got like a sprained back or something.
You were thinking the same thing I thought about Marshawn Lattimore.
Well, no wonder he was laying on the table. He was hurt.
He was sore.
Actually, it makes a lot of sense.
Vindicates him a little bit.
Yeah. He doesn't look as bad.
His back probably hurts from standing around the entire time.
He doesn't look as bad.
Was he getting any treatment while he's lying on the table? Or is he just lying there like a stiff?
He was just lying there. He looked like he was bored out of his gourd. Yeah, that's what it looked like.
Looked like he wanted to be anywhere.
Well, he didn't feel great.
Because on one level, the Packers are saying they were kind of blindsided by it. And I guess he has been practicing. You saw some clips of him like hitting that thing, whatever those guys hit, that big pad thing, the blocking sled, whatever the hell it is. And then now they're saying he may have to take an epidural. I didn't even know guys take epidurals to play. Like, that's what actually...
It's just a pain blocker, right?
Wow. Just to numb it.
So, you know, I hope he's healthy, whatever. Maybe by week 3. That might be ideal. But apparently, his podcast has generated a lot of controversy, too. And it turns out, I didn't realize this, but Micah Parsons wasn't that beloved in the locker room. That he was kind of... It sounds like he was kind of a loner.
Well, teammates viewed him as... This is from, I think it's Albert Breer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said teammates viewed him as, quote, egotistical and self centered.
Yeah.
And he rankled people all the way up to Dak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I guess.
They're glad he's gone? I don't know about that.
My understanding is they were like, they told Jerry, listen, you do whatever you got to do. That obviously, he makes them a better football team, but if you got to move him, there's not going to be any love lost in the locker room.
Yeah. Albert Breer wrote, his quote was, Zach Martin, CeeDee Lamb, and Dak Prescott, are/were very popular in the locker room. That's not the case with Parsons, who has rankled teammates in different ways, seen by some as egotistical and self-centered. His podcast has created issues, too, that go all the way up to quarterback Dak Prescott.
Has anybody said that trade was good for Dallas?
Some have. I mean, they haven't said necessarily it's good for this year, but some have pointed to the two draft picks and, you know, point to the Khalil Mack deal and point to other deals that don't necessarily work out in favor of the team that's bringing in the star.
I'll tell you why. If here's how it won't be good for the Cowboys. If the Packers win the Super Bowl in the next year or two and Micah Parsons is a huge part of it.
Right.
If that happens, then nobody's going to say, well, you got two late round draft picks and a defensive tackle. Nobody's gonna care about that.
Our pal Sean Sharif from The Fan in Dallas was on with Grant and Danny, and here's what he said.
Micah Parsons is a wannabe leader. He loves to preach about, and I know people right now are going to be texting, oh, you're just saying that because he left. No, I had a Micah Parsons report 2 years ago that I got destroyed for by these cowboy homers here who got so ticked off that I said anything about their beloved number 11 that he's a pain in the ass to deal with behind the scenes. Him and Trayvon Diggs, they want Trayvon Diggs out of here yesterday. And then him and Micah go palling around together. Their people, Jerry and Steven last night said it was unanimous amongst the decision makers. Now, I don't know if I totally believe that, but even if I three quarters of the way believe it, that still says a lot that he was, they said, what about the locker room? Going to be missing, going to be a problem? And Jerry was like emphatic, like basically telling everyone, no, addition by subtraction.
Wow. So it sounds like, I mean, especially in the wake of now Deron Bland signing a big deal, and from what right. Sharif just said, there's no way Diggs is going to get signed there. There's no way he's going to get re-upped.
I just feel like there's probably guys like that on every team.
Right.
I would just take the talent.
Usually it's not the best player on the team.
No, maybe not. You're right. And but just the fact that he produces the way he produces, he's just such a high impact player. We'll see how he works out in Green Bay, but certainly for the short term, it's not a win for Dallas.
I didn't know that he was thought of that way. That he was like,
well, he was kind of like that at Penn State too.
Yeah, I mean, he punched his
He's
own
a mean guy.
Yeah. But you know what? Jerry was still willing to sign him.
Of course he was.
Yeah. So if he was such a bad guy, why did you offer him the handshake deal back in the spring? Mm-hmm. Why'd you do that?
It's the post-mortem.
That's what it is.
I think finally, sometimes you get tired of being criticized so much. Like, everyone just called the organization a buffoon. Jerry's a buffoon. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why are they doing this? This is the dumbest thing in the world.
So this is why they got to come out with a reason.
Well, yeah. It's not like it's fake, but just at some point you want to give your side of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think they were being kind of respectful about it, but at the end of the day, when you're just getting called stupid over and over and over for the trade you made, mm-hmm. you're like, well, there's another reason we did it. Here's why.
Because he wasn't liked?
Well, also short term, it's not going to look great if the Cowboys get smoked on national TV in 2 nights.
Yeah.
And their defense looks suspect.
Bad. Yeah.
Like, if they allow like 35 points or more to the Eagles.
Their offense should be okay, though, right? I mean, they don't have the same line play that they used to have.
Their passing attack should be okay. Well, their running game is the huge question mark.
Yeah.
Like, they signed Javonte Williams. They drafted Jadon Blue. They've got Miles Sanders. It's just a mixed bag at running back.
But they've got two legit CD receivers.
Lamb,
they got
Pickens stud should receivers. Be effective.
Yeah. And they got like, Ferguson,
that's what they're
a tight
banking
end.
On.
Yeah. I mean, Dak's proven he could put up big numbers
yes.
for long stretches. He could have 6 or 7 game run, you know, where he's looks like an MVP candidate at times.
Wasn't he runner up a few years ago?
Yeah, I think so. But I don't think he has the same line play, right?
I think
some
only
of those
kept,
guys have moved on.
Yeah, you could be right. I think they only kept four receivers on their
really?
Actives.
We kept five, and that was unusual.
Yeah, I was kind of looking at their depth chart the other day. Hold on, I'm trying to pull it up.
They only kept four? That doesn't seem right.
I mean, unless this is wrong. Pickens, Tolbert, CD, Kevontae Turpin.
Mingo's on the IR.
And Turpin's more of a like special teams guy, but yeah. he's a weapon. I could see them wanting to utilize him along with the who else they have on the roster.
Yeah.
So you don't think we're like sleeping on them that they're going to surprise anybody? They're going to be bottom five.
Who, the
Cowboys?
I think they could
win some games.
You think they could win some games?
I don't think
games?
They'll be bottom five.
They were 12-5 3 years in a row before having horrible season
but let's
last
see
year.
I mean if Dak can stay healthy for the entire year, he's gonna put up numbers.
He keeps you relevant,
but
I
like
think.
Cake said, I mean, the running game could be a question mark, but if Dak's throwing to CD and Pickens every week,
yeah,
they should be able to put up some points.
It should be effective through the air.
Through the
on
air.
The ground, big question mark. All right, don't forget Mark Packer is going to join us coming up at 9 o'clock. We'll talk ACC football and more with him. That's coming up at 9 a.m. here on The Fan. Mark Packer, former ACC Network host, will join us coming up at 9 o'clock. But right now, let's jump into the Junkies Blitz as we're into NFL Week 1. It starts Thursday night.
Like we said, two more sleeps, and you've got an NFL game, KC. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it's going to be the defending Super Bowl champs, the Eagles against the Cowboys. The line I see has the Eagles laying 7.5. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow we will discuss whether we tackle that game for our Circa Survivor pool.
That line has moved a full point. That ties it with the Denver and Tennessee line.
Correct.
The highest on the board. Yep.
Some Cowboys news beyond Micah Parsons. Trayvon Diggs says it's a 75 to 80% chance of him playing Thursday night. He returned to practice last week, was a full participant, but still not sure if he will play. And, of course, he'll be paired next to Deron Bland, one of the better cornerback duos in the league.
And Bland just signed a big deal, big extension.
Got paid.
We talked about Micah Parsons. He's dealing with a joint sprain in his back. Matthew Stafford, of course, has had issues, but his status for week one has been revealed. Expected to play in week one against the Houston Texans.
Very good. NFL Talk of the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Daniel Jones getting a lot of praise from the Colts head coach, Shane Steichen, who spoke about his qualities. He said he's been a pro from the day he walked in here, the way he's worked. People have seen it throughout the building, his teammates, his coaches, and I think that adds to our edge, a guy that's always prepared and ready to roll. Is it possible that he could have a Sam Darnold-like breakout?
I don't think
Sam Darnold was so good last
year. I know, but nobody expected that.
I just don't see it. I just don't know if he's got it in him, if he's talented enough to do that.
I saw another quote from Steichen that said, we're going to go as Jonathan Taylor wherever he takes us. I think it's going to be a heavy, heavy run team, run-based team. And Daniel Jones can run, too. I just don't see him having a season where he throws for like 35 touchdowns or anything in that range.
Although I hope he's throwing to Tyler Warren, because I did draft him in one of my leagues. Got him late as my starting tight end.
Well, Tyler Warren was heavily involved during the preseason. I expect that to be the case during the regular season too.
Yeah.
But if you look at Darnold's career before last season, all right, he debuted in 2018, 17 touchdowns, 15 picks. The next year, 19 touchdowns, 13 picks. Then basically became a backup quarterback for, what, four seasons. And then exploded for 35-12 last year. I'm not saying he's going to put up these huge numbers, but I don't know. I've always been a little bit in the tank for Daniel Jones. Probably because what he's done against Washington in his career.
I think they would love it if he passed for mid-20s in touchdowns, didn't turn the ball over a lot.
Right.
And if he rushes for like 500 or 600 yards and scores two or three times on the ground, that's probably all they can hope for out of him. Now, if he gives you anything close to 30 passing touchdowns, then he's a steal.
I think his best year passing touchdown wise was his rookie year. I don't think he's touched those numbers since his rookie year.
Was it his rookie year or was it the first year with Dable, or is that one and the same?
I'm guessing it was the same year, but I think he had mid-20s. I'm not sure exactly how many, but I remember his rookie year.
Yeah, 24 touchdowns, 12 picks as a rookie.
He had the 12 picks, and then the following year, he just went downhill.
Yep.
So can he get to that mid-20 level? Maybe.
Well, I don't think that was Daboll in his rookie season, but I think his first year with Daboll was probably that, right? This is Daboll's fourth year.
Yeah.
So
he was 15-5. But, of course, he ran in a bunch of touchdowns as well. I don't know.
All I know, if I've seen him play well.
Yes.
Play well against us.
Mm-hmm. He always seemed to play well against Washington.
So, there was an article in the Washington Post by Scott Allen a few days ago. And he goes through five preposterously positive Commanders predictions for the 2025 season.
Okay.
I want to go through them.
All right.
They're preposterous.
Yes, but he says this is a route that it could happen, and then he also says this is a route why it most likely won't happen. But we can kick it around. So number one, why it's preposterous, his preposterous claim is Washington will break the franchise record for points scored. They scored 485 points last season, matching the 1991 Super Bowl winning squad for the second most in franchise history. The most they've ever had is 541 points.
Oh, that's a lot.
What year was that?
That's 83.
Oh, okay.
That's
which
in
is
less
the
games.
Ninth highest total
that's
in NFL
less
history.
Games too.
That is in less games.
Yep.
Now, why it's preposterous? More difficult schedule. And this year, they're going to face... they have eight games against teams that finished with the seven best scoring defenses a year ago. So schedule tougher. But why it could happen? We all think the offense is going to be better this year. On paper, Connerly, drafted, Tunsil you trade for, mm-hmm. so offensive line should be better. Last year they were seventh worst in sack rate, and then you add Debo. You think it's preposterous or is it possible?
Possible to have the highest scoring season in team history?
That would be 541.
541. So what's 541 divided by 17?
I think it's preposterous just because of the fact that they're playing so many good teams defensively. But you pointed out.
It just,
I mean, you'd have to average over 31 points a game.
I mean, that's just a ton.
Detroit did it last year, though, right?
I think it's Detroit possible. It. I think it's possible.
Possible, not probable.
It's definitely not probable.
It's three more points. It's three more points a week.
Yeah.
All right, number two claim. Mm-hmm. This is Scott Allen, Washington Post. At least two Commanders will be named to the all-rookie team. The last time it happened, 2012, RG3 and Alfred Morris both made the all-rookie team.
So that would have to be Amos and Bill? Maybe Bill or Connerly. I mean, they
didn't have many draft choices.
Or Lane.
Or Jalen Lane.
I mean, if Jalen Lane lights the world on fire as a returner.
Old receiver.
Or receiver.
I don't think he's going to be that high up on the pecking order at receiver. I mean, I could be wrong.
I mean, injuries could happen. Could be a good slot guy.
But Trey Amos, your best bet would be Connerly and Trey Amos, your first and second round picks.
That's what you hope happens.
The number three claim is the Commanders will go undefeated in primetime games.
Well, they have a lot of primetime games.
For only the third time in franchise history, Washington scheduled to play five primetime games.
All right. And they are.
In 2017, they went 2-3 in those nationally televised tilts. Back in 2013, they went 0-5 in the primetime games.
I'm going to say preposterous.
So that would be Packers.
Mm-hmm.
That would be Bears.
Mm-hmm. KC.
That would be Kansas City. That would be the Seahawks. Who am I missing? Oh, the Dolphins. And who are they playing?
Is that considered primetime? I mean, it's an early game.
I would consider
it. No, but that early slate is tough.
The Broncos game is a primetime game.
I would consider it primetime just because it's the only game.
Yeah.
The Commanders' 2025 slate of primetime opponents combined to go 51-34 last year. So,
yeah,
Thursday night, Green Bay, Kansas City, they've never won there.
That's gonna preposterous. Be, they're going to drop at least one of those games.
And they may flex one of those Eagles games, so that may end up being a primetime game.
Now, Scott Allen writes, why it could happen. Commanders they have a horrible record. We know that in primetime, but they've won three straight on Monday Night Football, including last year against Cincinnati. Oh,
that horrible record pre-Jaden Daniels. Right. I don't even consider it anymore.
All right, number four.
I mean, if they go undefeated in primetime games, they're going to win like 14 games.
Number four.
I'd say that's preposterous.
Debo Samuel will lead the team in rushing and receiving touchdowns.
In the touchdown department.
I don't think it's likely because I think Terry will lead receiving touchdowns again.
He's not going to get that many carries where he's going to be able to lead him in rushing touchdowns. I would hope so, but I don't think that's going to happen.
What if Debo all of a sudden becomes like the goal line hammer? I mean, crazier things have happened. I would guess Chris Rodriguez fills that role.
He's not going to lead them in touchdowns receiving.
I don't think he's going to lead them in either.
I don't think,
yeah.
But he might have 10 total touchdowns.
That would be huge.
8 or 10. You take
six and four?
Yeah. You take that in a heartbeat.
Man, if you got 8-4, that's a bomb.
Yeah, of course.
And number five, Jaden Daniels will be the Super Bowl MVP.
Oh, hold on. That's actually very possible if they get to the freaking Super Bowl.
Of course, yeah.
So it's like a dual thing. Like if they actually got to the Super Bowl, I would bet on Jaden being the MVP. But I don't. I mean, if they get to the Super Bowl, I mean, it would take a miraculous run that rivaled last year's.
Not really.
It would take a run that rivaled last year's.
You're using miracle. I don't think this would be a miracle if they made the Super Bowl.
They were 60 minutes away.
It's actually realistic.
Yeah, they were in the championship game last year.
The analytics guy for ESPN has them with a losing record.
Okay. Seth Fiber.
That's fine. His big, dumb computer spit out some numbers.
What do you have him last year? I bet he didn't have them going 12-5 last year.
Yeah, I bet he didn't have double-digit wins like this guy.
Check out Seth Walters' 2024 prediction.
I can barely spell analytics, and I had a better prediction than him last year.
I told you, and I saw this developing as the season unfolded last year. I think they're going to be a better team, but probably have a worse record this year. Whatever that is, I don't know. I think they're going to be better. We're going to be a more complete team. We're going to be a better defense. And
so the numbers, statistically, they'll be better than
last.
Yeah,
but I think our win-loss record is probably going to be worse because we're not going to run as hot as we did in late-game situations, fourth downs, et cetera.
Could be on a two-year-long heater, EB.
But I like the trajectory.
Can I just tell you what Seth Walder had last year?
Sure, I'd love to hear
some of his predictions.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Did you keep touting him?
All right, I've got
I'm not touting him.
I'm going to guess there are a lot of buzz is incoming
saying
here.
ESPN's nerd had us with a losing record.
Season Sim 2024 prediction surprises playoff teams. Number one, the Bills and Falcons fall flat. The Bills did not. Number two, Caleb Williams leads the Bears to the postseason. Number three, Eagles win the NFC East after a late season surge. They did win the NFC East. Number four, the Bengals seize the AFC North from the Ravens. He's got the Bucks do it again. That's correct. The Vikings stumble to the number one overall pick.
They only won 14 games.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Seth.
Aaron Rodgers and strong defense lead the Jets to the AFC Championship game.
You know what? This guy's computer stinks on ice.
This is your guy, Seth Walder.
I can't take anything he's saying seriously.
Then he had the Commanders last year going 5-12, not 12-5.
He was off on 80%.
Yeah, he's terrible.
Right. So maybe it's a good thing.
All right, don't forget, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see Dave Chappelle live in concert at Capital One Arena in October. When we come back, Mark Packer, former ACC Network host, he will join us here on The Fan.